Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Malad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to take time out of my busy schedule and be able to come to you all in Radio Land. We've been on the air for over 7 years, and surely this was not something that I would like to have done. My specialty is TV. I broadcast TV around the world. I was taught by my brother, Jewish brothers, and they allowed me to know how to do the uplink and downlink and do the closed circuit and et cetera. However, I was given the opportunity to go on the air. And when I went on the air, Brother Alfred, I'll be remiss if I don't mention his name. Brother Alfred asked me to come on the air. He called me back again. And he said, would you like to take it for at least 2 weeks? No problem. And he gave me another 2 weeks. And before I knew it, he wanted me to stay on. And I stayed with him for at least over a year or more. But his wife came to me, and I know her very well because she was raised with my daughter. My daughter's name is Tahara, and her name is Fatima Tahara. The two mothers was very close. And so they named their child, just flipped the name. Nevertheless, she grabbed me and hugged me and said, thank you for taking us viral. Now, I actually knew what that meant because in the networks, you can't be in those networks if you're not bringing ratings. So I was proud that I took them viral. And you're talking about a million people more. And then something happened. I couldn't get in, and I didn't know why until I got a call and said, where are you, Murad? I said, what are you talking about? There's another man on the phone. I said, you're kidding. So apparently he thought about doing something else. I didn't find out too later when I called Block Talk Radio and I said, give me Tuesday, because Tuesday is the time that I have, and I have a lot of people that listen to me, and I feel I was morally obligated. Nevertheless, they told me that you can't just take a Tuesday. I said, okay, give me 4 Tuesdays. So you cannot do that. You have to take every day of the week. All right, give me a week out of a month. No, 52 weeks out of the year. I said, what in the world? I'm going to be on the radio every day for 52 weeks. And I thought about it. I didn't think about myself. I thought about all I can bring to the radio. But I had to build it. I said, done deal. So I was on the radio every day. I don't care. I could be in Istanbul. I'm going to broadcast. I'm that type of person. I don't care if I'm in China. I'm going to broadcast. And I found a family out there. But not just the family in El Islam. I found the family around the world. And what really made me want to have continuity in doing so, couldn't see me and I couldn't see them, like national TV. But I realized that was a world that was very beneficial. And brothers and sisters, it was so beneficial that I had Jews, Christians, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Hindus. I'm talking to them, wherever they may be. And I realized that the communication came from a Jewish gentleman who decided to travel the world and he wanted to talk to his family. And he realized that I should share this. And he did. Started in, I think it was 2006, if I recollect. But he didn't make no money for the next 5 years, 7 years. Now he's a phenomenal for sharing it with more than just his family. And so therefore you have to give him his accolades. because we don't own this vehicle, this communication, but we do pay for it. And because we pay for it, we can say whatever is good to say and whatever you would like to say on the air. So I decide that I would just give back what I've been learning all my life and studying the Holy Quran, following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and accepting Imam Steve Muhammad for giving us the opportunity to be attached to 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world. And I found myself able to bring men and women, my God, our women was just dynamic, was able to speak on the air. Had one sister, Muhammad Ali, loved her, and we all did, that was around Muhammad Ali. And she used to wear her hijab, and she was married with four children. And Ali had a love for her, Herbert had a love. We all had a love. She had her own TV, and I used to come in and do her TV for her when I come into town. And she, her station was out in New York. She was excellent, brothers and sisters. I knew what excellent is because she did her own commercials. And usually when you do anything that's not live, you got to say, cut, you start all over again. Cut, you start all over again. Out of all those tapes I did for her, she might have cut 10 times, meaning she was gifted. She knew just what to do. And so, make a long story short, she finally gave that up after decades. And she was the first one to write my story along with another young lady. They called me the kid promoter. Yes, they called me the kid promoter back then, but they gave me a full page about my life back then. And I never forgot her for that. But anyway, I brought her on the station, and she was bringing in all these celebrities because everybody knew her because anyone would come behind Muhammad Ali, she was able to interview them. So she called them, and I said, you work too hard. And I knew she was ill, but her and I was talking about the great Muhammad Ali. Because Herbert and Ali, you call Herbert and say, where's Ali? He say, call Camilla Tajuddin. Tajuddin Ali loved her, and she was always knew where he was at. She was always around in many different countries. And so we are talking about the Muhammad Ali, because she was with her for years, I was with her for years, both of us went out to be successful. And I said, Tajuddin, you're not feeling too well. She said, no, I don't give up. So we were doing the show together, and about 2 minutes, I said, Tajuddin, you're not really speaking. I'll close the show out for you, because it was her show, Celebrity Sports. That's who she brought, all the top actors and actresses. So I usually call her, or she usually called me and said, oh, great show. She was my backbone. If something was going wrong, I can't hear you, Marat, she would call. If something happened, she would call. She would always test to see if I was on point. So the next morning after Fajr, I get a call from her husband. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum. He said, brother, you were the last one to talk to my wife. I said, what do you mean? She passed away on the phone. That's why I couldn't talk to her. So I kept her name alive for years. Tajuddin, Tajuddin. This broadcast is brought to you by Tajuddin because she had Sunday. And I never replaced her because I wanted to keep her alive. And she's still alive. I'm talking about her today. It's amazing, brothers and sisters. She passed away on the job. Make a long story short, I replaced her with a sister named Amira Wazia. If you turn go to the newspaper, the Muslim Journal, she's an excellent writer, and she sells insurance. So I said, look, you need to tell your story in the Muslim Journal. He said, oh, I don't know about it. I said, I don't think I can get in. Of course, me and Aisha is very close. I said, Aisha, give her a call. And today, she's been there now going on 4 years. But I never knew she was a radio host. So she knew what she was doing. And the name of her show was The Female Speaks, something of that nature. And she had some dynamite sisters on the air speaking. See, that's communication. And then she had to bow out because the mother she had to take care of, and may Allah be pleased with her and grant her prayer days. She passed away a couple of months ago. But it gets you, a vehicle like this allows you to meet so many people. And there was one young lady that I made my assistant. Ah, she was a beautiful, gorgeous, lovely female. And I come in the hotel, you know, I live in the presidential suite, or I'm in the bungalow, and that's a place where you have your own pool, your own butler, and your own maids. And I used to love the, but I was in the presidential suite. And when we came in for dinner, it was only about 8 o'clock in Vegas time, which would be very late here. And my wife said, there's a young lady trying to get to you. I said, where? And she trotted over to me. She looked like Phyllis Hyman. Great love for Phyllis Hyman. It broke my heart. I felt I can save Phyllis Hyman. I used to bring her flowers and everything. And what threw me off, somebody said, I don't think you want to have Phyllis Hyman. And it kind of allowed me to back up. But when she committed suicide, I felt bad. I believe I could have helped Phyllis Hyman. Well, here come record. This young lady looked just like Phyllis Hyman. Exactly, I thought she had came back from the dead. And she said, can I speak to you? And I turned to my wife and I asked her, did you mind? She said, sure. And we went up to the suite and we sitting there talking. She said, I've been watching you for a long time and I want to be with you. Come find out she was very articulate and had everything that I would like to have. Something about her. And so therefore my wife comes out and she says, oh, I'm going downstairs because I had her a special walkie-talkie, because if you go downstairs in the Hilton on the MGM Grand, we was in the MGM Grand, it would take you out to walk over the whole downstairs area. You would see the lions, you would see this, you would see that, you see so many things that would love for you to take a walk. So she said, your wife trusts me here in this room? I said, yes, this is her house. Where we go, that's her house. But yes, she trusts me. And she said, that's what got her. So I brought her amongst me, and my God, she took me to the world of the internet. I knew nothing about the internet. Her name was Jacqueline Smith. And Jacqueline Smith, I never knew she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she never knew that I knew the Bible and the Quran. Because why? We did boxing. And I taught her so well that I could send her to any part of the country and said, Jacqueline, go begin to set up everything, and I'll be there in 3 weeks. That's how good she was. Her son became world champion, long story, but she knew the boxing world because she took him from a little boy all the way to the Olympics. So she was very, very sophisticated in my field. I didn't have to teach her anything of that nature, but I had to teach her things that she didn't know. So one day she heard me on the radio and I was teaching. She said, that's Marat. And she said, oh, my God. So we call and we talk. And I talk like this, brothers and sisters. I'm real with my people out there. And if you talk to anyone, Christians, Jews, Hindu, they know how to say assalamu alaikum. They know what it means. They know the difference when we say Muslim. They know the difference when we say God is the same as saying Allah. They know all of this. 7 years being with me, viral 3 times. See, when you go viral, you don't know. You can't see them out there. But the owner of the station sends you an email. Congratulations, you just went viral. Congratulations, you just went viral. Congratulations, you just went viral. I like those accolades. So I became a part of me. And I don't, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to get it done. And so some great people came along, and the one that is my engineer is the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Now, that's a long story, but I'm just very elated that he has joined me. And, of course, he has his own show because he's over top of the military, of the Navy, and he teaches the brothers doing Juma, and they come in all walks of life, and they speak the Arabic very distinctly, and he, of course, know how to teach it. But he was a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he became a lieutenant, and then he now became the imam on the Imam Warshi Muhammad before he passed away. And he'll tell you those three was his best friends until they passed away, and he went into seclusion. But when I was introduced to him by a young lady from Seattle, or pardon me, Little Rock, Arkansas, she heard me on the air and said, "My God, Mirage, well, I thought the imam came back." And they're very educated there. And then she went on to introduce me to Musa. And she said, "I'm going to tell you about him now. He's an introvert. You can bring him out of here." How could I bring him out? I just met him. When that man told me he'd been listening to me and watching me on TV for 30 years, he's honored to be a part of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't say these things to brag. I say these things to know you can lose your mind and think you're big-headed and you think you're flying. No, all these accolades allow me to stay on ground zero. Because I bleed, I get sick. Yes, we fall when we sin. Just like you, you just like me. We're a mirror of one another. But we have to trust in Allah. We have to trust in Allah, put our faith in God, and keep in mind that you should act like you see Him, but you can't see Him. He can see you. But what really got me, call from Jacqueline, and she said, "Mirage, I went to my pastor, and I said to him, you always tell me, think about today, not tomorrow. But there's a man on the phone, he's an imam, and he said, God said, work from the present to the future. What about the history? Study it. It's reward of all research. But don't go backwards. Nothing in the Quran tells you to go back and live 1,400 years ago. This is a new day. Oh, don't listen to that Muslim." She said, that bothered her. And then we was talking, and she was talking, and I said, "Well, go back and tell him you're a Muslim." "No, I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not." And I said, "Muslim is not religion, young lady. Muslim is your nature. Every human being, everything in creation is a Muslim." "What?" Now, fast forward. She went and took Shahada tank. Now, that's difficult. Just by way of phone, but now she knows me, of course. But she didn't know me like this. However, she called me and she says, "Brother Murad, would you send me a Quran?" I said, "Yes, and sign it for me." I called down El Kareem, the closest thing you're going to find to your man, Warshi Muhammad. He's my mentor today. He's 86 years old. He's one of the oldest. His Hassan from California is the oldest in age. But in continuity, ever since he was 5 years old, he grew up with Warshi Muhammad. And so I said, "Would you send this to this young lady and sign your name?" He never said, "Well, why don't you sign your name?" He signed it and sent it to her. She thanked me. Then she called me again. She said, "Ron, I'm in the Quran, but what part of the Quran is prayer?" I said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm at Fatiha." good. That's prayer. Now close your eyes, close the book, and open it up again. Where are you? I'm in Baccarat. That's prayer. Close it again. Where are you? I'm at Nazareth. That's prayer. She said, you're telling me the whole Quran is prayer? The whole from the front to the back is crying. She said, my God. Now, I used her, and there's a million more like her. You see what communication does? We want to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to have communication. We just give it to our families. But we don't give it to our neighbor. We don't give it to one across the street, down the street, around the corner. Wherever you go, you speak the Quran. Why we do five prayers a day, brothers and sisters? Because when you wake up in the morning, and that's a new day. So Fajr, you make your prayer out loud. Why? Because it's dark. So you can speak. It's the crack of dawn. That's it. Can't speak no more. You can't speak no more because it's the crack of dawn. God don't need you to speak. Now, you can be an ulama. You can be a scholar. You can be an imam. You can be anything you think you are on a high level. But you cannot speak during Zuhr. That's prayer time. You're praying. You drop everything, you're making your prayer. Standing, sitting, down the sajda, whatever you like to do, you make your prayer. It's time for Zuhr. You can be riding on the bus. It's time for Zuhr. You can be riding on a horse. It's time for Zuhr. But some of us are so spaced out that we want to push our religion on everybody else, so you disturb the person. Allahu Akbar, what are you calling the adhan for? It's a disturbance. Allah can hear you. Do it quietly. So he shows us during Zuhr, none of the leaders of the Salat can speak. Now here come Asr. You cannot speak. The light's on. So Allah says in the Quran, the revelation is lit. That means every human being can see my creation. Iqra, read in the name of your Lord, he said. He never told the prophet that he was his Lord of the world. He never told, I am Allah one. He said, read my creation. Now, brothers and sisters, you may say, well, he was the prophet. Allah is talking to us through the prophet. And what did he say? Read in the name of your Lord that created. Did he have a piece of paper? If he did, that's man. In order to have a piece of paper, you got to have ink. He had no piece of paper. He had no ink. Allah needs nothing from this creation. Keep that in mind. He needs nothing. He created us. It's a khalifa. Oh, we over top of the whole earth. But he needs nothing from man. And you need nothing from his creation that he has created. So are you reading? Because you can read now. You can see. You can see the seven seas. You can see the land, the earth. You can see the grass, the trees. You can see. Read my creation. That's what God is saying. It's not physical. But you get your attention who God is. Because the sun don't fall on us, stars don't fall on us, the moon don't fall on us. Who's holding it up? You ever think about that? So we can't speak during Zuhr. And they got an argument. Which one is more important, Zuhr or Asr? But if you look in the sky, you will see a straight line. How is honor? Straight. Straight line across. That's your soul. Oh, you didn't know that. So if you see a straight line, what makes Zuhr for an offer. It must have a similarity. But when you say asa, asa is pressure. Pressure, that's all it means. Just like a diamond, the worst pressure that a diamond can bear is a valuable diamond. So it's pressure. Pressure for what? For the unimas to keep revelation alive, because we're ready to ascend into what? Darkness. We're going into darkness. Keep it alive. So we're ready to make salat, but it's quiet. But when you get down there and the sun goes down, time for Asa, it's time for Maghrib, pardon me. When it's time for Maghrib, you're now in darkness. And when you're in darkness, brothers and sisters, you now can speak. But isn't that amazing? Zohar is 4 rak'ahs, but Maghrib is only 3. Now, I can teach this for another 5-10 days. I can stay on it for a month. But I'm just planting the seed and getting to a point. So you're down into my grid. And when you're down into my grid, you only can make 2. And then 3. And so what is the 2 and the 3? It's to let you know that what you have seen is your soul. You have to be in touch with your soul. You got to be in touch with your mental capacity. And you got to be in touch in your spirit. So when you do 99 dikras, you don't have to mention all 99, only 3. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But you use your thumb, brothers and sisters. You don't use nothing else. That thumb is important. You ever heard your old saying, the thumb rules? Man, use it, but he don't know what he's really saying. Yes, the thumb rules. How did the thumb rule? You ever see the gladiators and they fighting and one wins? But he can't kill his opponent until he turns to whom? Pharaoh. Pharaoh is this great god, country. And he looks at Pharaoh. And guess what Pharaoh do? He turns to his community. And he said, live. Thumb goes up or die. The thumb goes down. So that if the community want that individual to live, they'll say, live, live, with 2 thumbs up. If he want him dead, he says, kill, kill. Then you got to kill him. Because if you don't kill him, Pharaoh will kill you. As big as his head is a community. I ask myself, how many mans come to our community? How many mans is in make their own decision? Even Pharaoh thought even God couldn't make a decision unless he turned to who? The community. Yes, everybody ain't no devil. They do devil's things, but they ain't no devil. He surely wasn't God. But he made everyone thought he was God. But even he had to turn to the community and say, live or die. So that thumb. Yeah, they right. You got the pinky, the other finger, the other finger, the other finger to get to the thumb. So you dick Allah with your thumb. That's your conscience. Alhamdulillah, 33 times. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But what's next? What next? Are you going to live or are you going to die? That's all it means. You're either going to live or you're going to die. You, me, every human being have to make that decision, especially when you're doing dhikr Allahu Akbar. So when you go down and sajda and you do it 3 times, when you finish,
What do? You do two sunnah. Now, some people do 10, some people do 20. That's up to them. But the two sunnah makes your five principles. And what is you begging Allah if you come out of that sunnah? Oh, Allah, guide my five senses when I go to sleep, Lord. Awaken me to my five senses, Lord, so I can be obedient to you. There it is. I'm a student of Imam Water Thing, Muhammad, and he takes the simple things to teach us what life is all about. And we have to understand that. And so today I thought maybe I should give you all something that you should think about. And I enjoy trying to give you a topic. I usually don't give a talk. Comes to my mind, that's my topic. But I realize that so many people are following me, and so I tried to get you to think. So you have to make a decision. I always use we, because I'm you too. Do we accept or reject spirituality and that nature that which God has given to us? And we don't know what the spirit is. We don't have a clue. That's what we're going to speak about tonight, because we are businessmen. We're promoters. We go out and build, and we go out and create different things for different people to be able to work in the world. And if you understand the men that rules this country, they all have a method to their madness. If you take out your dollar and look at it, you will find now on that dollar there's a pyramid. And in that pyramid, what you have? You have in that pyramid, you have a individual eye right there at the top. You see that eye. But the pyramid is a pyramid because only a few people are up there that can see. While Allah says in the Quran, I raised a few. That's why they made that logo on that dollar. But at the bottom is why. So you can see up there, but Allah say, yes, now go out there and make all you can. Take some for yourself and give most to the people downstairs, because there's most people out there. And most people out there cannot, under any circumstances whatsoever, do what we can do up here. But you have a responsibility. What is that responsibility? Is to give back. Now, some of us come selfish, and some of us don't care, and some of us don't even think about helping nobody else. But yet, you got blessed by God himself. Isn't that amazing? So they know what they're doing. Because if they didn't know what they was doing, comes from the Holy Quran. Even that boy or man, and he came from the islands on a boat. Yes, Willie Lynch. And Willie Lynch read the Quran. I know he had to read the Quran because he said, the man is in charge. Whoa, that's what's holding us white folks back. You want to rule them for another 1,000 years? Well, I'm going to show you. Go get me the biggest, strongest, muscle-bound man you can find. Here he is. He's 6 feet tall. 6 feet tall, yes, he's 6 feet tall. And because he is 6 feet tall and he's 240 pounds lean and mean, tie his hands behind his back. Tie one leg to this horse and one leg to the other horse. Tie and feather him. Strike a match. And my God, send them horses opposite direction. Do the woman look at that? Do the little girls look at that and put fear that the man cannot help you? Get that man out of that house. That was his message. Because he read the Quran and said, man's in charge. So let's get him out the house. And today, 2020, today, the 21st century. Today, women tell their man, get out. Not knowing that you're selfish, because you had that 1, 2, 3. How about my grandma? I had 16. You put the man out of the house
It's not about money. Women know how to make money. Khadijah, peace and blessing be upon her, had money. Couldn't have been money because the prophet ain't had no money. But because she chose him, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there is not no one in this day and time will be working for an employer. The employer is a female, and you're an employee, and you got nothing, and you came for nothing. There's no way you're going to go to her and say, would you marry me? So it wasn't written like that. She came to him. I want to marry you. Well, it was a great thing, but look at the blessings he got. He became what? The seal of the prophets. He didn't know that, and sure didn't even know that. But what does that message show you? Your women sit around and you wait for someone to come and get you. No, you have the ability to get him. More important, I tell men all the time, you think that you saw her first? No, no. She came into your eyesight. She was playing you all the time. And then you asked. Because you kept seeing her. Now, why I say these things to you? Because we're not supposed to be left alone. This is a real world out here, brothers and sisters. So when you read the stories of Khadijah, you read the stories of the women like Haji, Sarah, all these women are in the Holy Quran. Sheba had her own city, her own army. But all these stories is to teach you, if you learn by them, the men and women that Allah has in the Quran, and likewise in the Bible, in the Injil, the gospel, Allah is talking to you. So with that understanding, brothers and sisters, I set a precedent and give you a foundation who you are. We don't know who we are. And this is why I talk about the spirit. So we want to say we thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify his name. We thank him for today's blessing, your awakening. We thank him for showing us the way to the Holy Quran. We ask him to guide our life and our health and be there with us at all times. We ask him for his mercy. And we say, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. If we does not give the praise to God in anything that we do, then you forget. Some people say, well, I don't have time. Yes, you do. You don't have to know my prayer. All you got to do is talk to your Lord the way you know how to talk to him. The same way you talk to your baby. The same way you talk to your children when they get a certain age. The same way you talk to your husband, your mother, your father. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for giving us a gift, a blessing, in the mortal person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble messenger of God that follows that salute, that translation of that salutation, the last prophet, the seal of the prophet that's mentioned in the Injil and mentioned in the Bible as well as given to us in the Holy Quran. We say, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alameen, wa sa'asa wa sa'an wa sa'asu al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salakallahu wa deen. Brothers and sisters, I always, in everything I do, I say Bismillah. I don't have to say all of that with God's name. And we have a tendency of putting the Prophet Muhammad before we put Allah. When we bury in our deceased, we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you'll get a foreigner and say, whoa, man, you can't say Allahu Akbar. It's saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adameen. And you got to say Muhammad Rasulullah. Brother, we're talking to Allah. And we bury him. We don't have to say that. Now, we give him the excellent salute so we can separate that God is one. He has no partners, no associates. He has no children. He has no wife. And we can't approach him unless he give us permission. You have to submit to come to Allah. So we don't want to get hung up, as the Christians taught us, that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. That doesn't fly in El-Islam. In El-Islam, we got it right. La ilaha illallah. So we're saying that. When that body is going out, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Because why? It's going to the grave and we're talking to God. Now, anything else, we mention him, so you do not put the prophet with Allah. He's not a prophet to God. God has no prophets. They are prophets to us, but they are not prophets to God. They are slave servants to Allah. They are his messenger. We can't call him messenger. We didn't give him a message to take anywhere. So we put things in the proper perspective. We will understand the Christians and the Jews and so forth and so on. It's in the Quran, all you savages and saviors. But it starts off with, oh, you Jews, Christians and saviors. Meaning you can believe whatever you believe, you should trust in that. Grandmother didn't call him by Allah. She might give him a name that I can't even find in the dictionary, but Allah knows your heart. Those women that left here, they were saying Allah. Because he does not judge your words. I'll give you a good example, brother. Your wife can tell you to get out the house. And you'll go because you're free. But there's something to tell you, turn around and go back. And you find she's different. She's not angry no more. But then she say again, and now you're really upset, and you keep going. And someone call you, man, you ain't been home in 2 days. Your wife is crying. Crying, she just kicked me out. That was emotions. See how we judge people? Let them cool off. You find out they come right back. But we so cold because she said it, and I'm a man, I'm going to keep on going. Well, you ain't following the crying. That's not the way it goes. I want to boss this woman. Okay, go ahead. But you got to stay there for 90 days. Well, what do you mean? First month, then say to Allah, I divorce her. He didn't say go to his judge. Just say, I divorce her. Then next month, I divorce her. And then one day before 30 days is up, you're making love with your wife. Why? Ah, she moved the right way. She blinked the eye the right way. And then that divorce is out the window. Now, if you decide 2 months to divorce again, you got to go through that same period. See how merciful Allah is. He knows that we are emotional people and the woman more emotional than we are. Why? Man, she got so much sensitivity and love for that baby. He was a baby. Your mother raised you, taught you how to speak her language. Your mother taught you how to say no or yes, thank you. Your mother caught you when you were trying to walk. You didn't fall. She made sure you didn't fall. Your mother nursed you back to health. So she was God to you. She was Al-Rock man. She was the first mercy. She have to be, because we men can't give that to the female and to the male. We can't do it, so hands off. She's the ruler. She's the lord of the house, because she have to live there. Well, I want blue paint. She wants green. You give her green. If you want to live with her, you give her what she wants, because you ain't there. You out working. Hopefully you out working. So she have to give that baby, but then that neighbor cord had to be cut. You know how you came in here? You came in through that tunnel. But when you came in, if you didn't take in God's spirit, you dead. You come in stillbirth. And then we get emotionally upset because we lost the baby. No, if you study, you realize the baby went to paradise. God said, no, this one don't need to go through what we are going through. Because here is a trial and error to get to heaven. Those still babies, that was the will of God, went directly to heaven. Oh, okay, I ain't upset. You accept that? Yes, Allah gives you another one. And if you really think about it, you think it's the same one that was there before that left. That's right, because you don't know that child. It never came in this world. But once you stick your head out there and breathe in God's spirit, you're alive. And what was you born? In a community. Your aunts, your uncles, the nurses, the doctors, your father, your mother's there. You're born into a community. And you come in this community innocent. Why? You don't even know what God taught you. How did God teach you, brothers and sisters? You was in the class womb. Well, what did God teach them? Mama can't teach them. Did she teach them how to sneeze? Did she teach them how to cough? Did he teach them how to go to that nipple? And why he's sucking on that nipple and nothing coming out. He's intelligent. He's going to stay there. All of a sudden, here comes the milk. But then when he's hungry, you ain't got to tell him to move his head. That's it. And we don't understand how intelligent that is, why we got obesity children. Because then when that baby pushes you away, it's saying, I am full. But you can't say your language. And you make the baby eat. Now, you don't make that little infant. It'll throw the bottle out the crib. I used to do that. At least my mother said, yeah, I'm finished. I don't want this big thing in my hand. It's gone. So children are intelligent. They're all behind the wall. This is Allah. And they all crying God's language. Now, tell me which one is a Japanese, which one is an Asian, which one is a Filipino, which one is this, which one is that, which one is African. You can't tell it because they're all the same. They come here with equal opportunity. All they know is God. Now, everything you say, they listening. They can listen. They work great. You can mold them to be anything you want. Child get 9, 10, stability have to come. That's the man. And the man teach them who God is. Mom is not God. He learns and she learns on herself that she got to cut that neighbor cord, meaning you got to make a decision. And then when you realize the one who created your mama is Allah. El Rahim. That's the second mercy. And El Rahim takes you through this world. So get that daddy out of there. 9 out of 10 of them is all messed up. And this is what they do to us. A pair of eyes cannot be better than 2 pair of eyes. You got 2 minds. But here Allah says that I'm going to create a khalifa in the world. We say he's going to create man. It's okay. You don't need to learn the Arabic. So he's going to create a man. He never said we. He never said that he had to pull the female from the rear. Tell him, go back to kindergarten. Who is that soul, brother? But Allah looked at the soul and said, I will create a mate for it. So that woman was here first. She was here first because we couldn't get here unless we came from the womb. Mariah, we did come from the womb. Where? The earth. Yeah, you put your head on that womb, don't you? Yes. But what do they call it? Father Earth or Mother Earth? You can't produce nothing. Nothing whatsoever unless you carry that seed, X chromosome, and why. But you got to plant it in the womb, or to grow those vegetables better. Deep darkness. Oh, I can talk about this for another 6 months. I don't give me enough time to do that. It allows me to just open your mind so we can understand what life is about and so we can go places. And sometimes we all enjoy to party. We go out and dance and we sing. We love music. We listen to music. But there is a spirit, a life for man that God gave to us. And we must love our life and hold on. Do not, brothers and sisters, let it go. Do not forget your spirit. For that's your spirituality. That's your life. So if that's your spirituality, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to be able to recognize it? Now, my success in life comes from reading the Quran like this. We have a physical body. We should not just forget it, don't understand it. No. Neglect it. But that physical body, we can see it in the mirror. That's your real estate. Did I tell you it's earth? That's your real estate. But we have a mind that is not abstract. But all three should work together. Your mind, your physical body, and your spirit. If you put them three together, there's no stopping you. So you should work on it and understand it. That don't separate it. So most of us try to use our mind, but our spirit is in the way. We want to neglect our spirit because our spirit is in the way. Our spirit talks to us, but we're not listening. We're tired, and all of us is get tired. But when you're tired, you think. But you try to manage everything. You try to manage everything else, but you don't manage your spirit. Your manners of fighters, your manners of baseball players, your manners of football players, your manners of entertainers. But do you manage your spirit? This is what God is asking you. Do you manage your spirit? But we do try to manage everything. But those who manage, he or she, their spirituality builds muscles, powerful muscles. You know how your women, y'all like that man with muscles? Ah, look at the muscles he got. Ah, look how big he is, how he handsome, tall, with muscles. Yeah, he got physical muscles. It is not your physical muscles that God is talking about. I'm speaking about the best muscles. Your best muscle is the social life. You know what social life does, brothers and sisters? Social life will pull you away. But if you have the spirituality, muscles, it will pull away from that which is bringing you down. So it's not physical. It's to be in tune with all three. Think about the three. We are in our house, but we want to make Juma. You only need three. You need the intellectual mind, you need the soul, and you need the spirit. But who guides you? Who leads the prayer? Because your mind could be in la-la land. your spirituality can be off the hook, but the soul speaks to you. So the soul speaks. Whoever got the ability can lead the prayer. You have a 70-year-old can lead the prayer because the husband ain't there, yes? But the 70-year-old not there, who you have? You got girls and little boys at 2 or 3. Who's the prayer? The woman. She can do juma in her house? Yes. For Allah said, in the absence of the man, she's in charge. You see how easy this is? And we want to put our women behind the door and down the floor and up the roof, but not with us. But yet you go through Hajj. Yet you go around the Kaaba. And that's the fifth pillar. You are now complete. You brand new now. But who's next to you? The women. Now, how do you know that? And you come home and forgot her. You know, brothers and sisters, usually I put in a tape on Monday because I got two beautiful nieces, Salima Muhammad and her sister, Dr. Anira, she specialized in the medical field, allows her to know how to take care of you all. Because we don't take care of us. So Delima, Salima is her sister who's also in the same field of family care. But they are intelligent. And Medina, she got that degree that says she's highly intelligent. And they got together and I allowed to do their own show. So on Monday, I plays it again because their show only goes to those who may tune in. But my show can take them to millions of people. That's what we do. We grow, we reach back and try to pull them. So I love those two women. And looks like they're going to bring a whole lot. We got one came in and talked about how you should create your own publishing company and how you should write your own book. And she will teach you on our air. Because it don't cost them nothing. I pay for it. And honored to pay for it. For Allah says, it's better to give than to receive. That messed me up because I give to everybody and no one gives me anything. Car over, it comes to you, you don't get it right away. I pulled my car over and got out and said, Allahu Akbar. I hope no one's listening. Everybody said, I'm crazy as hell. I came to me, it just dawned, it was like an explosion in my head. The light turned on. To give is the habit. To receive is not the habit. So it's better to give than to receive. Allahu Akbar. So if I got it, I give it. If you don't have it, you can't get it. So if you can't give it, then you got to receive it. You're a dependent. I don't want to be a dependent. So I was always a giver. I always like giving to charity and so forth and so on. So today, like I told him one day, we was together with, and their sister was building last year, and they had no money. They came to me. I said, you want my knowledge or want my money? Because I can give you some money, but you better not come back again. No, give us another. Like a long story, son, they built that masjid in Philadelphia with my knowledge. Now, I know the brothers want to take credit today, but I'm here to tell you it wasn't no brothers. I don't know none of them. It was sisters that came to me. I said, you do what I ask you to do, we're going to get that masjid. The reason I accept them, because I said, well, how much is this masjid you want to buy? They're going to cost at least $2 million. I said, my girl, I love that. That's right, brothers and sisters. They were cooking fish and chicken and selling mashed potatoes and anything else. And I showed them how to do it on a higher level. Well, make a long story short, we was in Germantown. And they invited me to speak. And Luke Ma, Kenny Gamble was sitting next to me, and it just so happened that I was the one that they really wanted to speak, and I made a joke. He must have fell out that chair. I said, I know y'all got Kenny Gamble here because y'all want his money. Well, you shouldn't want his money. His money is his family's money. Tell Kenny Gamble to write us a hit. He fell out off the chair. Yeah, you write us a hit, we won't need your money. Write us a hit. We have our own needs of dollars. But a Christian got up and loved the show and said she's going to give $25,000. Another Christian jumped up and said he's going to match her $25,000. And another brother jumped up and said, I'm going to give $25,000. So they did real well. And what do we do now? I said, go get you the biggest preacher in Philadelphia. So they're going to hate us. They ain't going to give you no money anyway. So they did that, and sure enough, they did it again, over $100,000. And then second time, I said, go get Ms. Farrakhan. Ms. Farrakhan ain't come. Just tell them I said for you to go get him. Went to go get him, and Ms. Farrakhan came in, and they did it again. But anonymous donor said, raise $75,000, and I'm going to send you a check. So she told the brothers on Friday, and you got to give the brothers a credit. They raised $75,000. Yes, seven figures a check came in. And they got that beautiful building. They remodeled it on the inside. So I said, don't give white folks all your money. Pay enough for 6 or 8 months and take the money and use it again. Now, they wanted the parking lot. That was $250,000 more. They got it. Don't tell me God ain't great. So you have men, women that have the ability, but you don't tap on it. Jesus says, if I feed you a fish, you'll eat for a day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat forever. So apparently they're doing well. You see the masjid in the Muslim Journal is one of the most beautiful masjids there was. And they have not done nothing with all the other masters in Philadelphia. So I give the credit to the sisters because they was humble enough to come to me. And this is what we do. Then another sister, they were trying to get her because she was outstanding. She helped do the women march, and she, Ms. Farrakhan, a great love her. She was a member of Dean Muhammad, grew up under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But they had it in the paper that activists wanted by the feds. So I know how we think. Oh, I know what she's doing this, she's doing that, because she borrowed $9 million. She had nothing, but she borrowed $9 million because of all of her real estate that she had. Had the biggest church downtown. So now they're coming after her. Anybody can sue you. Your brother can, your next door neighbor, anybody can sue you. So she is sued by the feds. That means she's not guilty. She didn't do no crime like that you think of. So a lawyer made a deal that we pay you the money back because it was $500,000. Now, what did they get her for? They got her for she had a charter school. And you got to go by the rules. I tell everybody, you get a charter school, they're going to get you. It's good if you do the right thing. It's bad if you make one mistake. And the mistake was she took from the lunch to put on the lights. Well, you put on the lights, the children got heat, and they can see. So she borrowed, she wasn't supposed to do that. So it's a technicality. Criminal. Unethical. They got it on that. So I said to her, okay, I can help you. She said, what should I do? I said, go see Ms. Farrakhan. Oh, you want me to go see Ms. Farrakhan? Yeah, he knows you. But tell him I sent you. And tell Ms. Farrakhan, how many people y'all church hold? They're 25. I said, tell Ms. Farrakhan I need him here for 2 days. 2 days, yes. She flew, tell Murad I'll be there. And he came in. And I was on the phone to show you, and I do everything for a reason. So I called a conference call. I had 40 different states on the line. And it could have, I don't know telling how many people was on those conference calls. But a surprise came, Akbar. I know him very well. He was the husband of my assistant that had been with me for 35 years, Petra. And he said, As-salamu alaykum. Everybody said, well, alaykum as-salam. He said, this is Akbar Muhammad. I'm bringing you the greetings from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As-salamu alaykum. And the first time I heard this, well, alaykum as-salam, sir. I said, whoa. Well, I mean, we never did that coming up in the first, but it sounds good to me. He said, I'm here to tell you all that Minister Farrakhan said, I love Murad Muhammad. And if you love me, then you will do what Murad asked you to do. And he got off the phone. True story. And brothers and sisters, within 2 months, Minister Farrakhan came in. And on the Friday he came in, Saturday, we handed her $500,000. We sold every seat for $100. And on Sunday, Khan gave him $1,000. His wife gave him $1,000. No telling all the other brothers that gave $1,000. The mayor, Sharp James, gave her $1,000. She raised another $70,000. This is yours. But keep in mind, they're going to keep coming. So when Ms. Farrakhan called me to come to dinner, the next time he came in, and I'm sitting there at the table, and he said, you sit here, Murad. I said, I'm not sitting at the head of the table. Why not? I said, where are you going to sit? At the other side. I said, okay, then I'll sit here. And all his ministers was around. We called them student ministers. Conversation between he and I. Now, some of the brothers talked and asked him about Surah this and asked him about what the Bible said and so far. He answered that. But things I said to him, I said, brother minister, we are powerful. I've been trying to put you and the Imam together for years. I said, and you know what happened when I came to California? That was the hip-hop summits. And when I came in, Mustafa grabbed me, brought me on the stage, and Steve Harvey was on my left, and Shiv Knight was on my right. I was sitting right on the stage. Because those two were supposed to speak. And I brought them with Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. He called me and said, where are you? I said, I'm here in my suite, Brother Imam. He said, get up here. You made this meeting. I said, yes, but I wasn't invited. I just put y'all two together. See, we don't seek the post. He said, come up right now. So I came up and I got on the floor. I heard someone say, Murad. I couldn't find him because all the brothers were about 15 brothers from Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, all the Imams. So I had to feed my way through the crowd and get to him. He grabbed him, hugged me, kissed me like he always did on both cheeks and told me he loved me. He said, you go in there, you should have been here, but you go in there and tell Brother Minister that you have the right to close any deal he wants to do. You have those rights. But tell him I love him. But don't push up on him. Call you come. I said, yes, sir. So I went in. The minister really pretty much just came out the hospital. And I'm there with his wife and children and Mustafa and his daughters. Everybody was there. He said, Muhammad, kiss me on both cheeks, just like the Imam. And shakes my head and says, I love you, brother. I said, I love you too, brother, man. Put his arms around me and turned me to his family and said, you see this man right here? You do not have to question if he's a Muslim. He said, but what he did, he went to the world and the corporate world accepts him. Whatever he wants to do with us, he has my permission. And said, let me tell you what my teacher told me. The man watched Muhammad say, he love you, he love you, he love you. And anything you want from his community, I have the right to make the decision. Now I can tell you 100 stories like that. But what was I trying to do? It stopped us from being separate. Why we got to come together? Because we all got something in common. What is that, Marat? We're broke. As a community, we're broke. How are we going to build this community? And what made me not put in that tape is I got a call, and behind that call was a YouTube. I pushed the button. And brothers and sisters, I don't even know this female. But I listen, sound like Barry Gordy. All I do is hear a few of the lyrics. And I know a hit. I use that metaphor because that's who I am. I don't care what it is. You don't have to sing me no whole song. And I saw this beautiful, gorgeous specimen of a female. Dressed modest, playing a guitar. Now, I knew she had to play piano to know how to play that guitar like that. And she was dancing and had women around, and it was a nice presentation. Because I'm a producer. That was a nice presentation. Our manager did a wonderful job, but I didn't know the manager. I didn't know the father. All I knew was this one that they sent to me. And boy, you know, we was taught that thought travels 25,000 miles per second. I said, this is what we need for our community. Now that I want to be a part of. Now, I'm no freak, brothers and sisters, because I'm standing in the lobby of the airport. Here come two tall individuals, man and woman. Mr. Muhammad, yes, would you take over our son? I said, heavyweight, middleweight? No. He's a basketball player. Don't you know Shaq O'Neal? No, I don't know Shaq O'Neal. But I said, no, the name sounds familiar. Here comes Shaq. Whoa, looked up and saw how tall this man was. He said, we'll be safe with you. I said, I would love to take over your son. I'm quite sure he can play. But I don't study the field of the basketball league, the NBA. But I'll tell you what, because I'm on a mission. Find one that knows that business. Don't give him all of Shaq. Give him half. And when you learn the business, keep it in the family. He said, thank you. Both of them thanked me. Why would I give him up? Because I had a mission to build my name. And I would have been the great man behind Shaq O'Neal. And that's it. It would stop right there. Then I got a call saying, Rod, can you come to Vegas? Came to Vegas. And who I meet? Michael Jackson. But you're the only one that I trust. And I ain't never did nothing for Mike. Trust what? He wanted to do my last show on pay-per-view, which you held it. And there's a brother that knows Mike very well, and he did all the negotiation with me. And like a long story short, this is it. That was the name of it. This is it. And Mike wanted $10 million to train. Now, that was beyond me because the average fighter, most they get is $3 million. But at least I know the fighters and I know the network's going to pay. But this man wanted $10 million. Well, done. But why? I didn't never ask why. So when I put out that kind of money, I got insured by going to London. It's 3%. Hey, Bob, hey, man, I said, I got something new. What you got? I said, I need $10 million. All right, what are we doing? Who's the singer? Michael Jackson. You got a problem. What do you mean I got a problem? We don't trust him. What do you mean you don't trust him? He said, well, they got us twice. But this is me. He said, but all right, it's going to cost you 10%. 10%? Oh, man, I ain't giving you no 10%. Man, that's out the bin. He said, hey, well, that's the only way we're going to trust him. So I came back and I said, what happened? What might do? He said, they got him in London. And messed him around. Tell you about this business. If you don't pay your debt, I said, they'll block you. I said, I thank you, and surely I got the contracts, I got everything, but go back to London, man, pay your bill off. And miss the big last show of Michael Jackson, because we got so far. I said, put on your brother. He said, no, this is about me. This is it. This is all I'm going to do. I might let them do a show, a 1, 10 minutes, 15. And so Steve Wynn called me and said, Rod, you know Mike. We offer him $100 million for the year. He won't do it. Then he said he'll do it for, I asked him, will he do it for at least one, no, sorry, no, $100 million a show they're going to give him, but they wanted him to do a show every day. He can't do it. Once a month, can't do it. Four times, nope, can't do it. So I said, Steve, I just lost him. I know he is not doing no show every day. And when I saw it, when they played him practicing, my God, that's why. He literally puts on a show every day. They call a dry run to get, because he's that perfect. I said, my God, that's why that man needed that 10 million. Because he had to bring everybody in and go over and over and over. And I understand that continuity, repetition. He wanted everything to sound right. It was so big, just practicing, that's all they show. And that's how I know that. But why did I give him up? Another man came to me, great running back from Las Vegas, Salon. Mother and father said, you got to take over my son. You have to. I said, I don't know football, but I'm on a mission. And that was on Friday. Saturday, I'm sitting in my den, and who wins the trophy? Whatever they call that great trophy that they all get. Heisman Trophy. I said, whoa, this boy won the Heisman Trophy. But I didn't feel bad because I want to do what I'm doing now. So this young lady, it's not Michael Jackson, and I know how to make hundreds of millions for him on the pay-per-view. No doubt in my mind. But I couldn't get it insured. Quite sure I would have been a hero with Shaq O'Neal because he's an educator, always went back to school. He's very smart. Everybody need a co-pilot, so I would have had fun with him. But y'all wouldn't be hearing me today. So I continue to go on. Brothers, we are a community. And sisters, we are a community. And this is what Allah is saying to us, is that we can carve out our own destiny. We won't need nobody to tell us about our destiny. And this young lady is gifted. Now, I've had me and Cool, but I never tried to take over Cool, and he never asked me to, but we Cool. I used to invite them all to my, when you come to my shows, you see, you're there with all the superstars. You name them, they're there, including President of the United States today. The President of the United States today, I said, give me your hotel. He gave me the hotel. He said, what are you going to do on a Wednesday night? It's something you couldn't do. And it was $3 million. They always get about $50 million, $100 million. I did $3 million that night. When I went into New York, he shook my hand, grabbed me, hugged me, but he couldn't give me a check. Nick Rivers wrote my check because Donald Trump couldn't handle the money they have on, I think it was, I don't know what it was, but anyway, he couldn't handle money. But he would always shake my hand and hug me and thank me because why? I produce. But what I'm trying to produce, if I have to rekindle me, I'm already out there. I don't need the publicity. I like to be known and leave this world that I was an asset and not a burden. Will anybody give me anything? I create my own money. But this young lady is so talented that her father, her manager, and her, and no telling who else was a part of it, because I heard her just today say it was her family, built her to be independent. And she's been on, I saw her on various different news shows. If you watch YouTube, you'll see art is right there. Art is good. But she's holding out for something that will allow her to be all she wants to be. Now, I'm not trying to blow my trumpet. I think my trumpet has been blown all over this world. You can go to Israel and know who I am. And you can go to, remember, I went to see Sheikh Mohammed in Dubai. They want to give me $100 million. I said, you're a trillionaire. I want $1 billion. What black man asks for $1 billion with a B? They put me in a 7-star hotel. Who is he? I can't tell you the rest of it because that's in my movie. That'll be in my book. You might not have to read it. I tell you everything. But I'm from Africa. I'm from America. And I come in there with my suits and our ties on, and they know, of course, when you get there, you wear leisure suits because it's 120 degrees, kind of hot there. But I'm in this beautiful, gorgeous hotel that everybody cannot go in, the 7-star hotel. I come to see Sheikh Mohammed. Long story. But I do the impossible. I can go in a country like Africa for the first time. I had on winter suits and know it was so hot in Africa because I've never been over in Africa. But Ghana gave me $14 million. So I went right to the president. $14 million, all in New York newspaper, New Jersey newspaper. The writer was, what was his name? Jerry Eisenberg. Story. Look him up, you'll find him. But the Imam Wali Steen Muhammad says, if you're going out there for yourself, you'll make it, but you will not reach your goal. And when he said that, he and I was talking. He said, you know why they're going to catch hell over there in Saudi Arabia? He said, you got to understand that Saudi Arabia wasn't that. It was Becca, named after a female called Hajj. They call it Becca because you can't go around the Kaaba without going past her grave. But they call it Becca, and then the man changed it to Mecca. They figured they'd give Hajj a play because they changed it to Mecca. Now it's changed to Saudi Arabia. See how they keep changing? But the Imam said, yes, they're rich with the oil. We are rich with the spirit of the Quran. But they left the real money behind. I said, what do you mean, brother Imam? He said they got gold. They got more gold in Saudi Arabia than any other part of the world. Now, Allah didn't give them that. They got the oil, but they didn't get to the gold.
Wow. Well, what is our goal, brothers and sisters? Our goal is cause rebound. We was molded over again. And Satan knows it. And this gen knows it. This gen know that we have ability and they have to block us and con us and take people like her. And there's many more out there. And make them think you have to go to their world. No, you don't have to go to their world. And when you see the foreigners tell you, oh, in El Islam, we don't play music. When they came into Medina, for the first time they came into Medina, they was playing music. And they was using that, oh, 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 you know, the women doing, they were dancing, playing music. And Abu Bakr and Ali says, no, 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 you can't do that. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, hold it, do not change their culture. Oh, they won't tell you that. Most of them don't read. And those who read is afraid to tell you that because they say that's haram. No, it isn't. Music don't have no colors. Music don't have no nationality. Music all around the world touches the soul of the human being. Why do you think the church play the organ and they got a whole choir that they sing? And man, if you go in that church and you don't like what you hear, you got a hole in your soul. Don't tell me what music can't do for you. However, they warned us to say what we're going to our women, and what we're going to do to this one, and what we're going to do to that one. They made us filthy. And if you don't sing like that, they're not going to pay you. But this mother and father, this family, this manager, and this artist, I'll be damned if you think you're going to change me. And they hold on to the troops come. That's what the prophet did. He held on in that war, that battle. He was outnumbered, but Allah said, I am near. And he never changed his character in spite of all the hell he went through. And today, he never left that part of the world. Matter of fact, even though he was born in Saudi Arabia, was Mecca, Saudi Arabia today, but in Mecca, he didn't die in Mecca. He died, he went, passed away in Medina. Why? Because Medina loved him. Today, you want to see how Islam should be, go to Medina. There's a brother right here in America, in Alabama or Mississippi, I think it is, called New Medina. New Medina. That's why we are new Africans. We're new Africa. We're not Africans. We're American from Africa. And we established that. And so you run away, no, give me a piece. Just give me my piece. The only way you're going to get yours if you create it. And we're going to create it, inshallah. So I'm very excited, very elated, because I got things in my mind that's unbelievable. Because it's one thing to go to your friends that you made a lot of money with and say, hey, can you put my daughter in this? Can you put my mother in this? But they can't sing on that level. It would be an insult to me. But when you come, you better come right. So every time I walked in, I either had the champ or had one getting ready to be the champ. That's right. And that's what I was known for. So I don't come in there with nothing inferior. But give me the vehicle, put the oil in the tank, and we're going someplace. But this sister can go to the moon. The reason why is enough space on earth and in the sky to be able to share with her whole community. I mean, that's the best way I can put it.
But it is called trustworthy. You got to be trustworthy because they will trick us up. And family don't lie on someone they love. Can't do it. But out there, you bring them in. When you let Satan into the family and they get to know the family, things happen. Now, I'm not going to mention her name, but she's dead today because her brother needed drugs. So he convinced her to get on drugs. So why? So he can have free drugs. And she left before he did. Why is all this happening? Because that's how they get us. They allow us to forget our spirit, forget our soul, forget our taqwa, our intellectual mind. They trick you, they con you, they deceive you. And don't let someone be with you making less money than you make. Then they sell you out. Now, one of my young men became world champion and spoke Gaina. That's a long story, but I love that young man. He stuck. But when when Don King was trying to get to Roy, he gave him $1 million. When he told Smoke Gaynor he's going to give him $1 million, Don was calling all around because he couldn't get the Smoke. Smoke cut off his phone because he knew $1 million enough to say, yes, I'll get Roy for you. He cut the phone off. He don't even know that. I'm saying that now, so it's recorded. The great ancestors, my great children can play this tape. That's what I like about taping things. It stays around for years after years after years. So I got so many tapes, brothers and sisters, there ain't a warehouse can hold it. Because I was taught that tape, everything. I was going to tell, I didn't want to scare them. I said, when we had this long meeting yesterday, I started to say, make sure you record this because one day you're going to listen to it. But if they're listening now, everything we talk about, put the tape. Don't say nothing under the table. I say everything on top of the table. And at the same time, you are able to instill, to bring the minds, all the minds. I give you a good example. I teach my athletes this side of the business. Why? Because I don't want to be there all day. If you're talking to one that's lack of knowledge, you got to explain everything. It's time consuming. So I teach it. I teach just what we do. I mean, you can't do what I do because you don't have that gift. But the point is, you'll know what I'm talking about. Teach my children. So they grow up and be men. Now, I come in and sometimes I can't overrule them. That's why we don't name our children Junior. Because they're 80 years old and I'm 100 and some years old and I'm still calling them Junior. Not in the other side. You Ibn, you're the son of me. Meaning you can be equal or better. Wow, my son was going to step on my shoulder and be higher than I am. That's what you want. That's what you give back. You're being repeated. Your children repeats you when you're gone. That's what it does. Brothers and sisters, if I say anything to hurt anyone out there, that was not my intention at all. But if I say anything incorrect, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I'm not perfect. So we say subhanAllah. Well, Allah is the best knower. But if I said anything to allow you to stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your obedience, in your love, in your faith in God, your taqwa, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorifies his name. And I greet you from our father, Adam. We should never forget Adam. We are his type. Peace and blessings be upon the first. And I greet you from our father, don't misconstrue, our father of the intellectual mind of all nationality, Ibrahim. Some people say Abraham is a saint. And I greet you from Jesus. Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. He came to do the will of Allah. That's Jesus. He did his job. And no, he wasn't here when Christianity was created. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet of 1400 years ago. That one, when you say peace and blessings will be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you say that, it only means you greeted all the prophets in one. Why, brothers and sisters, you ever bake a cake and name it what? Cake. But what goes in the cake? The butter. What else go in there? Sugar. What else go in there? Eggs and et cetera. And you got to stir it up, and then you got to put it in the oven. But when the cake comes out and it cools off, put no icing on it, you will not say, this sugar sure tastes good. This butter sure tastes good. This Moses sure tastes good. This Jesus sure tastes good. This Abraham sure tastes good. No, you say the cake. So we say Prophet Muhammad, because he's the seal, all the ingredients of all the prophets is in him. And the ones you don't know is in him. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not over top of any one of them, and nor are they over top of him. Allah said, do not make one prophet over top of the other prophet. So that's why we're not our Christians that give Jesus the credit. No, we salute him because it saves us from saluting all the prophets in one. I'm your host tonight, Maran Muhammad. I, inshallah, return tomorrow from 7 to 9 on Tuesday. That's the day I've been on for now close to 8 years. And then on Wednesday, here come my brother, Imam Eliyahu Bey. He's on from 7 to 8, and he comes right back on Thursday. And then my brother Musa, Muslim Babui, he's on Friday. He comes on during the day of Juma. And then Friday evening, here comes my niece, both of them, Halima and Nadira. And they come in to speak, and they got a beautiful host. And y'all should tune in. And then Sunday, my doctor, we call her Dr. O, her name is Dafi Alhunde, but she's from Nigeria. She's a surgeon. She do a lot for the children over in Africa and sewing those little girls up. And she used to be on the Cute Network. We love her. She would teach you. Her topic is you are your own physician. Alhamdulillah. All you who died from COVID-19, as they say, so we know you know what I'm talking about. We say, all Allah, separate their faults from their goodness, as thou separate the east from west and grant them Jannah, paradise. And all of you who sick from the COVID-19, and we say, all Allah, lift that burden from you. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. And all of you who try to help the ill and help your neighbor and give to Sakat and give it to Salaka. When you do that, you ask Allah to bless you all with barakats. You can cash in the last day of judgment, inshallah. Peace and love.